Welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. It is a very special episode because we are back. We just got done watching a movie in the theater. What movie did we watch, Steven?
One that I have been waiting for a very long time to come to the
theaters. Oh, me too. And that was The Martian, starring Matt Damon.
Yeah.
From Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Based on the novel by Andy Weir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a question.
What's up, Steven?
What are the differences? You've read the book. I've not had a chance to read the book. It's the next one on my stack.
Yeah.
So I understand that they've taken a little bit of liberties from the movie, mm-hmm. from the book, and also that the book is adding much, much more to the movie.
Yes. Okay. So the first thing right off the bat of the book is the book has been lauded for its scientific accuracy.
Right.
That is very technical, and mm-hmm. it describes exactly what Mark Watney does to survive for 500 plus souls,
right?
On Mars. So it's very detailed. They took a lot of that out about how he's creating the water. They kind of get into that. That's probably the most scientific-y thing they do
in the movie. Besides growing your own potatoes out of your poop.
Right. Yeah. But the level of detail they describe it at, mm-hmm. Imagine almost everything he does in the movie described like he did for that 5 seconds for the water.
Okay.
And that's a lot of the book. So he took a lot of that out, which is fine because it's very dense.
Oh, yeah.
But interesting to see him describe. Now, from what I remember, I just finished the book a couple months ago. There are three main plot points that they took out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give justifications for why and why it's a good move for the movie.
All right.
Okay, so first thing they took out.
By the way, spoilers, everybody.
Spoilers like crazy in about 4 seconds. NASA tells the Hermes crew who left Mark because they thought he was dead on Mars.
Right.
They are going to give them the permission to use a gravity assist off of Earth to go back to Mars to potentially save Mark Watney's life.
Mm-hmm.
To do this, they have to get the aid of the Chinese Space Agency to shoot a rocket up to them to resupply. Now, there is a section in the book about that, because in the movie, it seems like, oh, this went off without a hitch.
Yeah.
There was a lot of questioning if it was still going to work there. He had one rocket explode.
Right.
To see if this was going to work. There was a plan with the crew members of the Hermes that if the restocking missile did not get there, that Johansson would eat the rest of the rations. And then the other crew members besides her would, I believe, medically kill themselves.
Mm.
And she would eat them to get to Mars to potentially save Mark Watney.
Interesting.
Because they were on that path. They were doing it whether that rocket got there or not.
Right.
So they wanted to make sure at least one person was there. So there was a cannibalism plot that they pulled, which makes sense.
But it didn't happen in the book, did they?
No, it didn't. But it was something that was discussed.
Okay.
That they were going to eat the rest of the people.
All right.
So that was something they took out. Understandably, mm-hmm. it's a PG-13 movie.
Right.
And it didn't pan out. So
it didn't need to be there. Yeah.
So then the other two things are very similar to that, but not cannibalism, mm-hmm. obviously. But on Mark Watney's trip to the Ares IV, mm-hmm. where he would potentially leave Mars and get with the Hermes, there was a giant dust storm that he would have to navigate around. And so he did a lot of weird math and he eventually got around it. It was kind of like it built it up to be this really big thing.
Sure.
And then he just went around. So they lost that. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then the final thing that I remember them leaving out was he actually crashed his rover pretty close to the spot where he needed to get for the Ares IV mission,
mm-hmm.
and lost direct communication with NASA.
Mm.
So he had to try to do that last bit of the drive without their help to get there. But once he got there, he could obviously talk to them again because of the ship.
Yeah.
But that was taken out. Again, not a big deal to take out.
And to be honest, the movie is throwing constantly one hurdle after another.
Right.
At Mark Watney and the audience.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, there was probably 6 major hurdles that had to be overcome in the piece.
Yeah.
And so I think they handled that really well, and I think it didn't tax the audience, although mm-hmm. I will say that I thought that they explained everything very well in this movie, but there were still people in the audience that were totally confused as what was going on, namely the two people sitting right behind us.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was great fun to listen to them.
Kinda. Yeah. What are they doing now?
What is happening?
What's going on?
What?
They just explained they're going to send the thing around the Earth in gravitational slingshot, just like in Star Trek. But, yeah, actually probably Apollo 13, too.
Mm-hmm.
So did you like the movie then, considering the adaptation?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a really good adaptation of the book.
Yeah.
I thought they got a lot right. I think they got Mark's character right. Mm-hmm. He was kind of this hotshot, borderline jackass.
Yeah.
And he kind of came off that way, which was nice. He threw a lot of humor in the book, which it was very evident in the movie throughout.
And I thought that was really good because, you know, we've seen when this first came up as a movie, a lot of people were like, oh, Castaway in Space.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is much that, but Tom Hanks' character in Castaway didn't have the humor of everything. He was just like, I'm going to die.
Right.
And I'm never going to get out of here. I might as well kill myself and those kinds of things.
Right.
But I thought they handled the situation very nicely in this movie. And I thought that the story was really good and engaging, even though you kind of knew what was going to happen at the end.
Sure.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like history, even though this isn't historical, but in the movie Apollo 13, we knew who was coming back and who wasn't coming back and all that stuff. And the ending of the movie is somewhat spoiled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of knew that no matter what, Whatley was going to make it back home, because otherwise, what kind of a downer movie is that?
Right.
And the other thing is building the tension up at the beginning of the movie of, oh my gosh, he's going to die or get left behind. Well, the millions of promos that were released ahead of time gave us that setup. So I was, you know, part of the movie enjoyment. If you're thinking ahead, you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the journey, which I think is the most important part of this story. And it was certainly a very good movie. Now, of the two space movies that you and I have seen recently in the last year or so, I didn't like it as much as Interstellar.
Oh, really?
But I did enjoy it very, very much.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good movie, and I really think it's worth going to for a lot of different reasons.
Oh, absolutely. And I thought about Interstellar while the lead up to the movie, and then while watching it, mainly because really the two biggest space movies of the last year have been lauded for their scientific accuracy.
Exactly, exactly.
Which is a thing that I don't know we've really had before, besides probably Apollo 13. But we're talking, that was essentially a fiction, nonfiction story.
Right.
You know,
right.
These are clearly science fiction, but they kept to the scientific accuracy of the story, which I think really gives it some brevity in the idea of science fiction, because it's not trying to do anything impossible. Certainly, Interstellar went to some crazy lengths.
Right, but at least it was still tied to science.
Right.
And that's what I liked about this, is everything's tied to science and, you know, doing the calculations. And, you know, our astronauts are very smart people beyond just the fact that you're labeled as a botanist. You're not just botanists. You have to go through all the training. You have to go through the medical procedure. You have to go through all of that stuff so that you can survive in space. And so I thought that aspect of it was fantastic, and the fact that he's able to figure things out.
Yeah.
And, you know, set up the communications with NASA and everything else, I thought was really, really good. The other thing that I saw in this movie that I liked was the potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
This potential, and I don't know if it's discussed more in the book, but, you know, one of the big aspects of the movie is China and the United States coming together to save one person.
Sure.
But at the same time, that collaboration draws the world together a lot better. More scientific discovery is made that shows that, you know, the planet has more humanity than we may have thought before. So there's a part of that book that even the rescue mission itself is very hopeful in that people are really working together, putting aside other differences for the good of one person.
Yeah.
But the end result is something even bigger, where, if I'm not mistaken, it looked like Ares 4 was a joint mission.
Yeah, that's what it looked
like. And, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. And I would love it if we could do that. You know, I know the International Space Station is stocked with people from all over the world.
Yeah.
But it would be wonderful to see, you know, that kind of stuff, a collaboration take place to go to another planet.
Yeah.
So
and you think, and they kind of touch on it a couple of times in the movie, that space is really this great equalizer of country because you're not allowed to own any of it.
Right.
And it's just there. Mm-hmm. And why? And I know like the space race was this big deal that kind of kicked everything off, but we're kind of moving past that with so many different countries having space programs now. I mean, with India launching rockets and Europe landing a satellite or a rover type thing on the comet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have all these different countries working to essentially the same goal is to study our solar system in the universe.
Right.
So why shouldn't we be teaming up more?
Yeah. So what did you think of overall directing from Ridley Scott?
I thought it was really good. I think the tones of the movie worked well. I never thought it leaned too heavy into drama, but it kind of just dipped its toe every once in a while in the comedy to keep things a little light and not kind of disparaging like, you know, Castaway was, where it was very down and dreary.
Yeah.
This had those moments, but it was very hopeful throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was really well done for him, especially because you're working with, I mean, he did assemble an incredible cast.
That
was the first thing I saw the trailer, because I hadn't read the book before I saw the trailer. I saw the trailer, and I wasn't really paying attention. I just had it playing on YouTube, and then the list of actors came up.
Oh, yeah,
like,
we've got,
holy crap.
You know, we've got Matt Damon, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig, Jeff Daniels, Michael Pena, Sean Bean, Kate Mara, Sebastian Stan. Those are basically your astronauts, your NASA PR person,
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes, who was in 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
You know, those are basically all your NASA astronauts and NASA administrators.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got all these other people popping in that play big roles, like Donald Glover, who figures out the slingshot piece.
Sure.
You've got the Eddie Ko and Chen Shu, who play the Chinese aspect of the piece. I really like this. I really like the casting of this movie because it's super diverse.
Yep.
And the people who are playing the big roles are not relegated to background characters, right? You know, even Donald Glover, even though it's a small part for him, it's an important part.
Yeah.
And he's a person of color, and that's important. And we've got representation, I think, out the wazoo, although I think there's probably still a lot of people that would argue that, oh, well, this is still a white guy on Mars that we're trying to go save the white guy. But even the commander, Jessica Chastain, you know, white female, but still the female in charge of the mission. So I was really impressed with the diversity of the cast, how strong all the actors were that they got, even in small bits, like Kristen Wiig playing the PR person for NASA. What a cast to assemble.
And I don't remember in the book if Vincent was, I believe, Chiwetel. And I don't, like, in Donald Glover, in those characters, I don't remember if they're actually called out as people of color or anything. I think they were just a person, and they never really left it. I mean, they just left it as names. And then so, and I could be wrong with that, but I don't really remember them ever hitting on anyone's race in the book, unless it was explicit, like two of the astronauts on the Hermes were. But that could have totally just been casting.
Now, was from the book, was this an international mission? Because I could have sworn on Sean Bean characters, Mitch's costume, he had a German flag on his.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. There's that one character.
Okay. But were any of the other characters
they believe they're all after that. I think they were all from America.
Okay. All right. I just had seen that right at the end when they're trying to do the space catch. And I was like, does he got the German flag on his,
his
shoulder?
Because in the beginning, it's kind of offhand when they're all, you know, chit chatting on Mars and she apologizes for like her crew's. Like, they talk all the time. He says something about speaking in German or something.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. I totally spaced that.
Yeah, that's interesting. But what a cast to assemble. I'm curious of what Ridley Scott's obsession with space is.
Yeah.
Because when you look at his long list of movies, I mean, he's got some great movies, but the ones that really stand out have this strong space vibe to them.
Yeah.
Which is just interesting in itself, because you got Alien, then Aliens, the whole Alien franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Blade Runner, which is not quite space, but it's a futuristic tech. And then you've got Prometheus, the movie. And then, of course, you've got now The Martian.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly an interesting setting for a film. because mm-hmm. you're talking about a complete unknown of environment. So right. you can do a lot of weird things, especially like when you look at Alien and those films where mm-hmm. you can introduce strange concepts and you're already disorienting the audience itself because they have no reference for space. You kind of have to build this world. It's almost like a fantasy setting in a sense, but mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's just all around us.
Yeah. It's just, I thought it was well shot.
Yeah.
I thought it was well acted.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that GoPro gets a huge, you know, yeah. special thanks to section because Whatley is recording his entire experience, which is never being uploaded. So we're assuming that some future group of people would go
right.
retrieve those files and then share them with the world. But every time they're doing his diary, it's all on these little GoPros stationed mm-hmm. throughout the living unit that they're
right.
in. So I thought that was rather interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. I was like, how'd they hack these GoPros to get all of those graphics on top?
Yeah, because you don't see anything running out of, you know, there are no cables running out of those GoPros. They're simply mounted.
That's what we saw.
Yeah. So maybe it was a special NASA hack.
Yeah.
Because, man, they're hacking everything in that movie.
Uh-huh.
Here's how you hack the rover so we can communicate via text message. And here's
right.
here's how you do this. And here's how we hack this. And it's just a really good movie. I don't think it's as action-packed as the trailers lead on to believe because
yeah.
there's a lot of very quiet moments and a lot of thinking moments
mm-hmm.
in this movie. So if you're thinking that it's nonstop action, it's not.
Mm-mm.
And it's very, very, I mean, it's not a long movie. Maybe it is.
It's
kind
of long.
It's like
I think it's about a little over 2 hours. It felt at times longer than it was, but I felt like that was because I was just getting lost in the film, and then I would like something would just snap me out of it. I'm like, how long have I been?
Oh, it is 2 hours.
Here?
141 minutes. So
yeah,
just over 2 hours, or no, longer than 2 hours.
220.
Yeah, 220.
Yeah.
So quite a bit longer.
Yeah, it's a good length of film. Mm-hmm. I think it keeps the audience's attention.
I was never bored the entire
no.
time, which was nice.
Yeah, and then you had to talk about, I mean, a guy by himself
mm-hmm.
for most of the film
well,
on Mars.
Did you go see Castaway in the movie theater, or did
oh,
you
no,
see it later?
Oh, no, I was pretty young
oh,
when
okay.
Castaway came out.
Because I remember when that movie came out, it seemed like it was a very long movie, and
yeah.
there were parts in it where, and they did the same thing here, where you're basically following him over the course of the first year that he's on there,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, they jump
huge,
5 years
sure.
5 years later, and then here it's like
yeah.
7 months later, and some good... body double work, you know, because
yeah.
The first time we see Matt Damon, he's pretty
he's
buff
ripped.
And ripped, and he looks good. But then, you know, towards the end of the mission, he's lost all of this weight because
mm-hmm.
of the stuff, and he comes out of the showers, and they show, you know, this very skinny, emaciated body, and you know that that's not Matt Damon
no.
losing the weight like Tom Hanks lost the weight in Castaway, because
yeah.
Tom Hanks actually did do a whole...
Well, yeah, they took like a
they
year
stopped
off.
Production so that he could lose that weight
yeah.
In a healthy manner. But... yeah, I thought that was
and,
rather interesting.
Yeah, I mean, speaking
oh,
of his like
speaking of Castaway,
yeah.
143 minutes, so two
oh.
minutes longer than this movie.
So it was 243?
143 for Castaway.
Oh, okay.
141.
Sorry.
141
minutes.
For
gotcha.
For The Martian.
You know, speaking of how Watney's body kind of wasted away,
mm-hmm.
I think that was a nice addition. With really griming up all of his teeth,
mm-hmm.
which is not something they ever address in the book, but you
right.
didn't realize he would have ran out of toothpaste a long time
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
So he was going a very long time without toothpaste or
yep.
brushing his teeth.
They did kind of mention it at the end, because when he first gets on the ship
mm-hmm.
and takes off his helmet, they're like, "Ooh, dude, you're smelling ripe." He's like, "Well, it's been a year and a half since I've had a shower."
Yeah.
So I just, man, I like this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that I will add to the collection. But it is
oh,
not,
absolutely.
It's probably not one that I will go back and see in the theater. Now, you'll probably go back and see
yeah.
it in the theater, right?
Right. I'm going to go probably this weekend if everything works out, because Aubrey read the book after I did, and she really liked it as well.
Oh, good.
And she would have been there with us tonight, but she had went and supported the old Forte's Tigers at their homecoming festivities. So we'll probably go again this weekend, and I'm really excited about seeing it again.
Yeah. What didn't you like about this movie? What would be a drawback for people to avoid?
What is wrong with The Martian? Or what didn't I enjoy?
Is there
oh,
stuff
it's so hard.
Is there stuff like there are times, and maybe it's explained in the book and the science is behind it, but you know, he's using a basically a tarp and some duct tape to seal up the hole in the unit. Is that
no? That's right. Yeah, they kind of they talk about it. I mean, it's
because I'm
just
thinking that he's inside the units while there are storms going on.
Yeah.
And I would think that these rocks and pebbles would just be tearing ripped that tarp to shreds.
Well, yeah, then they kind of hit on that, right, when he puts that tarp on, mm-hmm. and he's counting his thing. There's a huge storm,
right.
and kind of just tensing, because hole goes to that thing, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's the only way he, because he survived the airlock mm-hmm. breaching, is because he was in his full
right.
suit, so mm-hmm. he could breathe and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, they kind of just, and they talk about it, but nothing ever really comes as of it being destroyed or anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what did you find something that you didn't like in the movie?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I honestly can't think of anything. The music was old.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing, is the music. Yeah. There were a couple of times where there's an original score piece, like when he's driving across the planet to his destination, and there are a couple mm-hmm. of times where you hear some string and horn pieces come up, and I don't know who was doing the score for that. But the rest of it was all music from the 70s, which I love that stuff.
Sure.
I mean, all the ABBA that they're playing and whatnot is just super, super cool for me, and I enjoyed that part. But I was just kind of hoping, as I was listening to that and started paying attention to it, I was kind of hoping there was a little bit more original score type stuff mm-hmm. in there, but I can understand if he's got nothing else to do, why not put the soundtrack inside the movie?
Sure.
I think it's diegetic is the term for it, where it's coming from inside the movie, a diegetic sound. And so I like that they made that work.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of things that I think were still not super explained, like
what's
why
that?
He had to cut a hole in the top of his rover and inflate the
and so that is just stuff that is a chunk of the book. I mean, it's all about trying
but see
to,
they did they
the
spent
outfit.
A whole bunch of, they spent a whole bunch of time saying, oh, they're telling me to cut a hole in the top and do this, and it's like, why? Because there's plenty of room in there, and that hole was not being used for any additional space except for maybe air or something. I don't know,
you know, I'm trying to think now of what he was pulling, because in the book he pulls a complete separate rover
right behind him, and that's
what
he was
doing
here.
In there?
Yeah, they had the solar panels and the rover that he had retrieved,
and he slept in one.
Okay.
Slept in one, and so that was part of the book, and so it was all just about trying to get his water thing in there so we can keep making water and his oxygen stuff, and he had to just like fit everything in there, and it was a whole big deal. Something that just bugged me at the end was they took time to say there is essentially a 24-minute delay in the thing, so we won't be having contact with him.
Right.
But then they continually cut it as in it's happening real time. Like, you just established we cannot know, and then you cut the film, I understand, for dramatic purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have just left, you could have just went back to a silent NASA all the time. Everyone's just bracing themselves
mm-hmm.
while
mm-hmm.
just crap is going crazy over on Mars.
Yeah. And
so that was really strange.
That was interesting way. And does point out, if you go to the IMDb page where they're talking about goofs and they're talking about, hey, they were talking of 12 minute mm-hmm. delay, 24 minute delay in the round trip conversation. And yet it's being intercut as if it's live. And I can understand that's to heighten the tension and so that you could see the reaction of everyone's face. But maybe it should have been.
But I mean, if you've ever actually watched one of the, because, you know, whenever NASA really does a mission, or the same thing as the European Space Agency, when they were landing their mission on the mm-hmm. Comet, they do a live feed of the thing, and you just watch everyone as you're waiting, as the thing counts down where you should get a signal,
uh-huh.
and then it actually comes, and then they just go nuts.
Oh, yeah,
so there is
a
great tension of then everyone's just sitting
waiting. Yeah.
And they could have done that, but I understand why.
Yeah, no, I thought that was, I mean, it didn't detract, but yes, it did pop up in my mind as like, why is the CNN guy responding exactly to what is going on live when mm-hmm. it's not live? So
or,
but I mean, I remember that the first time we had a successful rover landing on Mars
mm-hmm.
where I want to say it was late at night or early in the morning, because I was in Atlanta, and I remember getting up
mm-hmm.
and turning on the TV, and like everybody was tuned in to see, is this thing going to land? I think that was the one where it was the inflatable one. I don't think it was the parachute one.
I know Curiosity, which was the last one we landed.
No, this was like this was like 96, 97.
The Pathfinder, wouldn't
it? Pathfinder,
yeah. Yeah, I think it was the inflatable thing.
Yeah.
Well, he pulled up a parachute.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it, I don't remember.
Let's see
I don't
what
know how
you
I landed.
Pathfinder land.
But I remember watching.
Oh,
I
maybe up, maybe it was Parachute. I don't remember.
I remember staying up to watch the Curiosity rover land a couple years ago, and that was incredible to just watch them do all that.
Well, I just remember that, you know, we were getting the stuff coming from NASA, but of course it was 12 minutes delayed for NASA, so we were still seeing it live, but we weren't seeing what was coming directly from, you know, from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Mars Pathfinder. That was the one.
Yeah.
But I don't, I thought it was the one that had the inflatable thing, but maybe not. I guess it was parachuted down. So I'm glad it got to play a role in this movie.
Yeah.
Yay, NASA.
Yay.
Let's fund NASA.
And I remember
and
him
probes.
Saying when he's doing all of his travels, like, he was only so far, I think it was from Curiosity, on his travels, and he thought about, in the book, going over there to see it. It was like, no, I can't waste the time to go see the rover or whatever.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, when Mark Watney is waking up, was there a cameraman in his visor?
Oh, I didn't pay attention to that.
I swore there was a black shape of a human in his visor
maybe
when he's getting up out of this. Yeah, maybe it was in Martian Alien.
Maybe that was Ridley Scott giving us a secret.
Yeah.
There's aliens on the planet.
Yeah. But I swore, I think I'm going to go back and watch him again, and I'm going to look really close, because I swore there was a cameraman in his shield visor, which I thought would be really strange.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And this is just a straightforward question. If you had one person stranded on Mars.
Yeah.
And he was alive, but, you know, in order to rescue that one person, it would cost billions and billions of dollars that could go to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a, you know, you're a congressperson.
Yeah.
Do you approve that? Do you approve the money to let NASA do that? Or do you just say, well, that's a risk that he took when he launched, and we got roads to fix and children to feed and schools to fix roofs.
I mean, this is probably why I'm not a politician, but I would say yes. And where's that money come
from?
Right. Probably our giant military budget.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it took all of NASA's budget anyways, which is so small now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at the economic benefits. I mean, we see what the space program does for technological advancements throughout the entire world. So you got that going for you, where there's all these smart people.
Right.
And, you know, they bring it up in the film where support was on their side for different things.
Right.
Like, the public is actually paying attention to the space program for once.
Well, and
you have,
you know, that's
you.
A real positive thing too, because, and again, going back to Pathfinder, where people are waking up in the middle of the night or day, or I forget when it was, but I remember it was at a time when I was home, turning on the TV when I should have been asleep to watch that, that landing. And it did do a lot for science. And if it can help promote people more interested in these things, and just the, if a news agency was smart and if NASA was smart in a situation like this, it'd be like, how did we do it? Let's make this as simple as possible that we can explain to the public what we're doing, why we're doing, how it works, the science behind it. And let's see if we can get more people interested in these kinds of things. So
right.
I think from that standpoint, just the advancements of doing this and the knowledge gained from doing this, again, just like in Apollo 13, totally worth the effort.
Right.
There may be some people that would disagree with that.
Oh, there'd be a lot of people.
I thought that was rather interesting.
So this week, The Martian came out. NASA had a huge announcement,
right,
where they found that there is flowing liquid water that is like super salt.
Yeah, that's
it, but it's like flowing on Mars in seasons.
Yes, it is the flowing water on Mars, presumably from polar ice caps
and
those kinds of
weird
things.
Stuff. If you want to know more about it, you can watch an episode of SciShow on YouTube.
Yes.
It's very good to
explain. The way they basically detected it was by looking at particles in the water salt and seeing how that reflected, because they wouldn't be able to detect the actual water.
Mm.
And the interesting thing was that it coincided. What was this on?
It was on
Monday morning.
Yeah, Monday morning.
Coincided oddly with this Martian movie. And the interesting thing is they've had this information for months and months and months. I want to say almost a year is
how
long they were sitting on this
information. Well, I know the first time they started really studying the images has been for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they explained that they had to do some more analysis and do some things.
Oh, yeah, you want to
be conclusive.
But the
initial kind of looking at these water paths has been a year.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you have to obviously do some more research and study and things like that, and it's Mars, so it's a long ways away, but I'm not saying it's wrong that NASA
Here's an entire
huge movie based around our NASA program. And let's wait a month to announce this.
Yes. Not only is it a good move for NASA, but NASA had to probably sign off on a bunch of stuff as far as use mm-hmm. of their logos and some of the NASA sure. technology and those kinds of things. It would be a good idea to just, we'll sit on this a little bit longer. It's fine. We'll release it right around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you seen any of the news reports follow up that says, how does this finding change the things that we saw in the movie?
So I watched the episode of SciShow, which is mm-hmm. a PBS science YouTube channel.
Right.
And the guy who was explaining that, Hank Green, he said, or alluded to, it was a quick little quip
right.
in his thing that said something about the Martian soil wouldn't allow for growing of potatoes, and then just like kept on going like, oh, I see what you did there. But I'm pretty sure they said, no, you couldn't really grow potatoes in there, but I'm not quite sure
if
I heard him right. But he definitely said something about not being able to grow potatoes.
But the book went into detail about why the potatoes were able to be grown, right?
Yeah, but maybe he was speaking of in just that point, because from what he said, it is a very highly toxic to humans what is there because of some molecule
and
stuff.
that's one of the things that I was interested, especially because of the title of the movie, and I didn't read the book ahead of the movie, because he's on planet for over a year,
mm-hmm.
almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He is eating food grown in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
If there, you would think that part of his body chemistry would change mm-hmm. in those 2 years. Maybe it takes longer. I'm not a biologist or a botanist or anything like that. But I would think that some of his biology would change.
Yeah.
And my thought was, maybe that's the catch at the end of the movie, is that he really is not an earthling anymore. He truly is a Martian, which I think would be really interesting. And then he did talk about how, basically, according to the email he got from Harvard, he colonized Mars.
Right.
So, you know, those kinds of things I thought were really interesting think pieces in here.
A scientific standpoint, from to study what happened to his body on Mars, you'd want to have as many medical exams done to him
right.
on the Hermes, because you want to wait the
seven to find
months
out if he
was or whatever to get back. You want to start drawing blood and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's something I never thought of. That's really interesting.
It's been a while since we did the summer movie special.
It has been about a month.
We're going to try to do more movie reviews like this on the show. One thing that we used to talk about was the movie going experience.
Yeah.
This time, our theater did not suck.
Right. I mean, you would have noticed if you'd listened to all of our summer movies, we didn't lead off on this episode complaining about our movie theater.
Now, I will say this. As soon as we weren't in one of the big two theaters.
No.
We were in this next size down.
Yeah.
But when I found out what theater we were in, I was pretty excited. And he actually texted you saying, hey, we're in theater two. I was just here yesterday watching The Intern with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great experience because good sound, good picture, filled the screen, all that stuff. And man, it continued through this time. So I don't know if the new ownership has changed some things around.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's taken over yet.
I don't know if it is, because that was one of the things my wife asked, because it's still listed as Starplex, if they were going to keep the name or change over to, who bought them out? AMC?
AMC.
Or if they were going to change to an AMC.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it switching ownership. So maybe they just got their act together.
Maybe. I was impressed this time around.
Yeah, I was very happy.
There were still some talky people in our theater. But I will say, side story, I did go see The Intern, the Robert De Niro and Hathaway movie. And it was just, you know, my wife and I hadn't seen a movie together in probably over a year just by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had an afternoon off. And I was like, well, we should go do some date time stuff and just go do something as, you know, a couple. And she said, oh, I really want to see The Intern. I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'll go see that. It's exactly what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not disguising anything. But there was an older person who was in front of us in line at the tickets, and we knew what movie she was going to see. We sat down, and before the movie began, I looked around, and I said to my wife, we are the youngest people in this theater. And she kind of laughed it off. She thought that maybe there was only three or four people. No, there was about 24 people in the theater.
Uh-huh.
And they were all 65 plus.
Oh,
and if I were to guess the age of the oldest person, I would say late 80s in the theater. And old people, chat a freaking lot.
Well, the couple behind us was an older couple.
Oh, were
in
they?
This
okay.
film. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, the old people when I went to see The Intern. Oh, he didn't blink like he's supposed to. And oh, I knew that was going to come. And it's just like, it was somewhat comical at times. But
man.
I actually had a good theater going experience these next two times.
Yeah, so. It bodes well for the future, I hope.
Yep. We were going to go see Steve Jobs next week, but that is a limited release. 9 theaters in New York and L.A. are only going to get Steve Jobs next week. And then it's not until the 23rd of October that it gets a wider release, but it still didn't say how wide that was going to be. So my guess is Steve Jobs isn't going to arrive here in Hayes.
I hope. I mean, I hope. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Okay. They've surprised me every once in a while.
Yeah, they have.
I will hope that
so
Steve Jobs comes here.
What are we going to do then next week?
Well, a movie that you and I have been looking forward to came out on iTunes this week.
Yeah, it's from Sundance.
And it's Dope.
Yes.
And I'm very excited about seeing it. It was one of those films I got highly regarded at Sundance Film Festival as one of really the top films that debuted there. So now we're getting to that part of the year where a lot of the film festival films are being released, especially digitally.
Yep.
Like we've seen a couple of them already. And so Dope is out.
Yep.
And I think next week you want to do that one?
I think so. Life Changes for Malcolm, a geek who's striving to who's surviving life in a tough neighborhood after a chance invitation to an underground party leads him and his friends to a Los Angeles adventure, into a Los Angeles adventure. I don't know if it's so much an adventure. It's very interesting. I can't wait to see everyone's reaction to this. It's got some, it's just got some really cool people in here. What's his name? ASAP Rocky. It's $APP Rocky.
Yeah, ASAP Rocky
is the lead in this.
That's ASAP Rocky.
He plays.
I guess I didn't know that. Yeah, he's a well-known rapper.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool in here. Just the names on this movie that pop up are really, really, really cool, and I would encourage people to check this out before we do this next time on Zach on Film.
Yeah, so everyone has a chance to actually watch it if you do the iTunes movie thing. I don't think it's out on physical or anything yet. I'm sure it's just iTunes digital.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. You have an opportunity to watch it, and you know, you can be more attuned to the conversation next week when we talk about Dope on Zach on Film. So what would you give a rating for The Martian, Steven?
On a scale of 1 to 5, I would probably go 4.5.
Yeah, that's
I thought
I'm
it was really,
too.
Really enjoyable. Like I said, I enjoyed Interstellar much, much more than this, but this one is a super solid movie. I'd definitely check it out. Currently on the ratings for this movie, let me get to the page real quick. Whoops, too far.
Last time I looked, it was like 91, 90 on the old Rotten Tomato meter.
IMDb has it listed at 8.5 from 7,000 users. The Metascore is 77 out of 100 from 38 users. 154 critics checking in. 22 from Metacritic.com. So,
The Martian is currently certified fresh with 92% with 157 critic reviews.
Definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely, I give it a 4.5. I don't know if I can put Interstellar above it. I'd have to.
Really?
I haven't watched Interstellar again, and
yeah,
I really want to.
I.
That movie.
I think I'm going to have my oldest son watch both of these. I think even though it's a PG-13, he's just enough interested in the sciences to comprehend what's going on. And I think his 8-year-old smart head would enjoy The Martian quite a bit.
I think so, too. I think it's definitely a film that can inspire some more interest in science. I mean, I left them like I'm already gung-ho about space, but I'm like, space!
Yeah, space. And also, fuck Mars.
Yeah! Get out of here, Mars! So, on that note, I think we'll end this episode of Zach on Film. Head over to majorspoilers.com where you can find this podcast posting page over there. You can go down in the comments and you can give your thoughts about Ridley Scott's The Martian. What did you like? What did you not like? Did you not like that they didn't have Matt Damon bouncing around in 40% Earth gravity the entire time? Mm. That would have been really hard to shoot, let's be honest. Sometimes they use slow-mo to make it look like less gravity, so that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't like that, though. Maybe that just ruined the whole movie for you. Let us know in the comments there. While you're there, click on the Amazon.com link. You could buy your very own book version of The Martian by Andy Weir. I bet it's not very much in paperback.
Paperback, $9.
Look at that.
And also, if you want to get it in the Kindle edition, it's only $8. Or, I don't know why this. Oh, if you want to do that Kindle Unlimited, which is the subscription piece, yeah. Costs you absolutely nothing.
There you go.
And that's even, I don't think it, I think you have to be a Prime member for that, but Kindle Unlimited, $0 to get
I will tell you, I love this book so much, I bought it twice.
Wow.
Mainly because my dog ripped up the first one before I was finished reading it. So it's definitely worth the buy. But if you use the Amazon.com link over at Major Spoilers, it's not going to cost you any extra, but a little bit will come back to Major Spoilers to, you know, show your support to everything that happened Major Spoilers and keep shows like these coming each and every week. So next week, we'll be talking dope on Zach on Film.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.